Welcome to Kansas City Real Talk, brought to you by KCRAR. I'm Bobby Howe, and you're not Alex.
I am not. Jeff Carson, once again. I'm happy to be back.
You're pretty much just the tri-host. We have co-hosts, so you're the tri-host now?
You know what? I've been called worse, so that's fine. I'll take that.
We will take that as a positive.
I'm taking it that way, yes. What you guys say about me after I leave the room, that's...
No, Rob's the only one we talk bad about once he leaves. And then we just leave these little nuggets and then see if Rob listens to the podcast and then says anything to us. It's a fun little game we play.
Call me next time. I want to participate in that.
We're participating right now. We can talk on Rob right now.
Poor Rob.
Speaking of Rob, who works for the MLS, I kind of feel like with this episode, this is Monday right now, and this episode comes out on Wednesday, and I don't really feel like there's any way that we can do justice to this podcast without at least addressing it. On Friday, March 15th, there was a NAR settlement and the lawsuits was announced, and I'm sure you all have heard and read on social media and read all the comments. So my first question to you, Jeff. Jeff, are you freaking out about this news?
I am not freaking out about it, but I'm watching a lot of people do that. And so I think, you know, again, and I know you're going to address it as well, people need to remain calm and get an understanding of what it means to us before they start flying off the handle and watching some of these crazy headlines that are out there. I mean, it's all speculative. And for people to make predictions about people leaving the business and what's going to happen to commission rates, it's reckless and it's entirely speculative unless somebody has a crystal ball that I don't know about.
Yeah, and that's what I keep saying to everyone is because they're coming to us and they're like, we want details, we want details, we want details. And I'm like, you have questions. We also have questions. And we're working as hard and as fast as to get the answers to those questions. But this is going to come out with due time. So if you've been living under a rock and you're somehow, this is the first time you're hearing it, which I don't know how that's even completely possible at this point in time.
Oh, it's possible.
It is possible. There's a couple out there. Is that it was announced on Friday that in this class action lawsuit, the proposed settlement that both sides have been reached an agreement on, which I want to be clear on this. NAR has been working towards settlement since day one. They've wanted to settle this. This is not just NAR at the last minute.
So Bobby had to step out for a few minutes. But anyway, what she was alluding to was the $411 million settlement between the plaintiffs in the commission lawsuit and the National Association of Realtors. And I guess what we need to stress to everybody is to remain calm, get the information. There's a lot of rumors that are going on. Yes, it's going to remove the compensation field from MLS, but it's not going to remove compensation. So how we will handle business going forward is going to be different, and we're all going to have to learn about it. We're all going to have to figure out what our pivot is going to be, but that's kind of where we're at right now. Most of you know what we know, and we're continuing to find out. This hit on Friday. We're continuing to gather information from the National Association of Realtors. We're also talking to our own legal counsel here at KCRAR. Kip Cooper is organizing some buyer agency training. We're going to be doing some classes. We're going to be doing some information sessions. This is all things that are in the works, starting with this is really day one, working day one. And so we're going to do our very best to make sure that all members are up to date on what's going on with this new situation that we've walked into. So I encourage you to sit back and listen to the information that's coming out from the National Association of Realtors, from KCRA.com. But I guess what I would also tell you is be mindful of some of the things that you're reading that are out there. I mean, remember, sensationalism sells. You know, it gets clicks on articles online, things like that. So be careful of watching these things that are out there because, again, most of what you're hearing is speculative in nature and not based on fact. And so that's the unfortunate thing. But you know what? That's what's getting the eyeballs.
All right. I have a book bit.
All right.
T doesn't know the book bit song, everyone. I'm very, very sorry that we don't have, because Alex isn't here, we don't get the book bit song. And I'm not going to sing the Bobby's book bit song, but I'll just do the Casey.
Oh, that's right.
There's a whole song that goes
well,
with this.
This is the closest I get to reading a book. So this is
right. This is how you get details about books. So
exactly.
The book that I chose for this episode is called Rewire. It's about why we keep engaging in addictive and self-destructive behavior and how we can break our bad habits by becoming more mindful and disciplined. My quote from the book is, you know very well what the right choice is, yet you keep making the wrong one. So this is Rewire by Richard O'Connell. There are three lessons from the book. The first lesson is you have two selves that influence your actions, a conscious one and an automatic one. And when the book talks about, you know, which one's it going to be after you get home at the end of the day? Are you going to go to the gym? Are you going to sit on the couch and watch TV? The moment I ask you that question, you know which answer is the right one. But we're all faced with this decision or similar decisions all the times, but still end up on the couch with a bag of chips. And that's because we have two selves, a conscious one and an automatic one. And there are two ways that we can work to break bad habits. The first is to strengthen your conscious self so it becomes the dominant force. And the other way is to train your automatic self to just stop slipping up. Both work, but in the long run, training your automatic self is a lot less effort. And I will use an example with this because I've talked about on the podcast before. Last year, I did 135 days straight of running at least 1 mile per day.
That's right.
I got into that. And then I basically didn't run pretty much the rest of the year. I had races throughout the year, but I just fell off a complete cliff with it. And I started January 1. So this morning, at 5:30 a.m., I was on my treadmill to hit day 78 of doing it. And once you get into that groove, it's so much easier to make the right choice because it just becomes automatic
right.
that I do it. And I don't have to overcome just the, well, I don't want to do it today. No, I have to do it today and I need to get it done.
Right. It's part of what I do every day.
Exactly.
This is what I do.
This is what I do. This is who I am. I create at least 10 minutes a day for myself.
But backing up, when you started off with this being in the chair with chips, you don't have cameras in my living room or anything that you're keeping an eye on.
We didn't want to talk about that
like
on the podcast.
It sounds like you just illustrated yesterday evening and Saturday evening and Friday evening.
Yeah. See, at my house, it's a bag of Oreos, but your house is a bag of chips. It works.
Well, no, I've got those Oreos,
oh,
too.
The Oreos are there, too?
With a glass of milk. And there was popcorn last night.
I love it.
But it did scare me at first. I thought, oh, my gosh, she's got
watching
cameras on me.
She's watching me. My second lesson in the book, Rewire, is repressing your emotions can actually cause you to become self-destructive. And what I loved is the example that this book used, because it talked about, have you ever wished to yell at someone at the top of your lungs because they really made you mad? Just in the last week, they have. More often than not, when you wanted to, you didn't. But the author of this book says you probably should have. Emotions are chemical reactions in your body, and they build up over time and eventually break, which is when we have to let them out. And I know that for me, that sometimes when that emotion builds up inside me completely and then I break, usually the person I'm taking it out on is someone in my family
right.
who didn't actually deserve it, but I just let it build up on me.
Yeah.
And the book goes on to say, emotions are never right or wrong. It's not for you to judge. They're feelings and therefore not even meant to be based on reason or common sense. So often this conflicting advice might lead you to engage in self-destructive behavior. So just listen to your gut and take a step back. And then lesson three, you can start breaking your bad habits by faking it and training mindfulness. They talk about in Alcoholics Anonymous, they use the saying, fake it till you make it. And that's how a lot of recovering addicts get started. So it talks about instead focusing all your efforts and fake it until you eventually make not drinking or not doing whatever a habit. And then it'll get easier to control yourself over time. And another great starting point in your training is mindfulness through meditation, just taking 30 minutes a day, focus your attention on one specific thing, and let that take you over, which I guess a little crunchy granola, I know, for some people. But I've even just found even 5 to 10 minutes of quiet time does wonders for me and my body and my brain. So that's the book Rewire by Richard O'Connor, who is our book bit for this week.
You know, and all good information, but you know that meditation or thinking about things, can it start to consume you? I mean, like I never listen to the radio in the car. Matter of fact, I'm ashamed to say this, but my car is 6 years old. I do not know how to turn on the radio. I can listen to music on my phone, but I do not know how to turn on the radio because most of the time I don't have it on. I'm either on Bluetooth on my phone talking to someone, or I'm, like you said, thinking about things that are going on. And does it become obsessive at some point, or should you turn it off at the end of that 30 minutes or 15
It depends
minutes?
On where your brain is going during that meditation time. Is it taking you to a helpful spot, or is it you starting to hyperfixate on little bitty tiny minutiae? I know for me, one of the reasons I love running is that that's where my meditation time comes in. But sometimes even in the middle of that, I'll find myself going down a rabbit hole that I need to get out of. And so then what I force myself to do is work through complex math problems because it breaks my brain a little bit.
Yeah.
And it distracts me and it makes the time go quicker. But it also is a reset for my brain that sometimes I think that we need. So.
Yeah, that's great.
All right. We need to go get our guest. But did we talk about who our guest is going to be today?
We have not.
Oh, good. I'm so happy that I get to tell you. Today, we are bringing on Alisa Prager-Reeves, who is this year's chair for the KCRAR YPN committee. If you've never heard of YPN, it stands for Young Professionals Network, and you're also still living under a rock multiple times today. We've had people living under rocks, and that's okay. The motto of the KCRAR YPN is young is an attitude, not an age. And she's going to be talking to us today about business networking. So let's go get her and bring her in.
That'll be fun. Okay, we are back, and we are being joined by Alisa Prager-Reeves, our 2024 chairman of YPN committee. So welcome. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Well, Alisa, tell us just a little bit about your career journey. Like, you know, I love learning people's life stories. So take me back to when you were a baby. What was your family like? And then how did you end up sitting across the table from Jeff and I today? Well, at least for me. I don't know why Jeff's here. He's just here.
So. Yeah. Well, I didn't know we were going that far back.
You go back as far back as you want to go. Yes.
So my real estate journey actually started in the middle of quarantine 2020.
Oh, wow.
So, yes,
fun
I did.
Time.
Yeah, perfect timing, really.
Great time to get into real estate.
It was fantastic. I did online classes because, of course, there weren't in-person classes to go to at the time. I decided for sure that I wanted to be in real estate on June 1st, and I was licensed in both Kansas and Missouri by August 3rd.
There you go.
So what made you decide? You don't have to tell us what you were doing before, but what you said, you know, on June 1st, I decided I want to be in real estate. Mm-hmm. What was the driver to say, you know what, real estate's what I want to do?
It was always kind of in the back of my mind. I always looked at real estate agents thinking, wow, what a cool job. I loved houses, loved looking, you know, I was always looking at Zillow and being like, oh, I would love to like go into all of these places and talk about them and know more. And then, of course, when COVID hit, I had been in the cosmetics world.
Okay.
So everybody in field teams, you know, lost their jobs because nobody knew what the world was going to be like.
Right.
And I had said, you know, it's time. It's time for a change. It's time to reignite something inside myself and to find some new passion. And so I went for it.
So you've been in real estate less than 4 years, because I can do quick math, Jeff. Look at me doing math over here.
Good job.
I was using my fingers.
I know. You were counting. I was like, I got this, Jeff. It's less than 4 years. And yet you've already made your way to YPN chair. So congratulations getting involved, because that makes such a huge difference in your journey. What's been the biggest and best part of your journey, and what's been the most surprising part of your journey in real estate?
Excellent question. Well, the best part of the journey is the people that I get to be involved with, no question about it. Whether it's my clients or it's the other agents that I get to network with or industry partners, it is definitely the people that I get to be in business with, no question about it.
Isn't it funny the people that you compete with over deals and things that are turn out to be like some of your best friends?
Some of my best friends,
yeah.
Yep.
She said some, to be clear, and I was thinking that too. I was like, I was thinking a couple that are not best friends, but for the most of them, they are.
True. That's a subject for another podcast.
That is. So we do a whole podcast on that.
Well, Amber will be over there bleeping everything.
I know.
Names
it's fine.
And
we're done. It's how we get fired today. It's fine. Anything that's really surprised you in real estate? You were like, I just was not ready for this.
I think that there's a lot of complexities to it that people don't understand. They think, oh, I like the house, I buy the house. But there's a lot that goes into it, a lot that happens behind the scenes. And it's all creative problem solving.
It's not just unlocking doors and walking through pretty
houses. It is so much more than unlocking doors.
And some of the houses aren't pretty.
No. No, I have some nightmares. You just saying that is like, I have some flashbacks, some PTSD. So
those are the ones that always say, you know, some TLC required. She could be pretty. Things like that.
So question for you. In a recent episode that I was not available to be on, Jeff and Alex talked about the mind shift required when you start working at the association level, because it's no longer strictly about prospecting. So why do you think it's important for agents to network with one another rather just focusing on consumer networking?
I think it's really important because, again, this is a people business and it's all about relationships. And there is no way that you can be an expert on every single detail. You need other people to ask questions, to bounce ideas off of, who come at these questions with a different experience that can elevate how you do your business.
Exactly. You know, you talk about relationships. It's not really just the relationships with customers, but we all have relationships with each other. And, you know, I've reached out to Bobby with situations and Alex and many, many others to bounce things off of. So those relationships with other agents throughout the area are invaluable.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Well, that's one of the things that I've noticed during my time, you know, in this association and with, you know, growing up in real estate is that for the most part, we're all so giving of one another because we come from a place of abundance versus a place of scarcity that says, I can't share my trips and everything that's working for me because you may steal and you may do a better job than me. And sometimes we can't even challenge people, here, take it, see what you can do with it sort of thing. But we do, we're very good at sharing. And it's one of the things that I've always taught to people, you know, especially people new when they get into the industry. And there's all these real estate conventions and conferences going on and such great information. It's good to be there, but you can only afford to go to so many because, heck, the registration fees are sometimes ridiculous. And so I've always preached to people to do something called LobbyCon. Show up at the hotel where the conference is going on and just hang out in the lobby. And a lot of times you'll learn just as much hanging out in the lobby as you do if you go into the sessions and hear what the gurus and the experts that are being paid to be on stage. And I'm a paid speaker, by the way, so I make fun of myself. But you can learn just as much or more from everyone else that's there versus the content that's being shared.
That's very true. I've never heard of it referred to like that, and I'm totally stealing that.
I stole LobbyCon from someone else, and I was like, mine now, well, forever.
I'm taking it too.
I love it.
But you're absolutely right. Sometimes the best conferences are the ones that you don't really – not present company excluded because you're a great speaker, and you saw my reaction to your speaking a few weeks ago at the Lawrence meeting. But what you get from other people. I mean, to me, networking with other folks – and again, that's why you're here today. That's where I get the most out of it.
Yeah. You know, sometimes when we get into this industry, we don't know what we don't know. I still don't even know what I don't know. And I've been doing this since I was 8 years old. And one of these days I got a feeling that I will figure it out. But sometimes when we're in a networking setting and we're talking to others, sometimes we can feel shy or we can look at the big players in the room and go, I'm never going to be like them. What's some advice you have for people who just started attending some of these network events and just doesn't know how to get out of the corner of the room to go start having conversations with people?
Well, it's actually a lot easier than it feels. And I'm actually not the most social person. Mm-hmm. I definitely have a little bit of social anxiety. And networking was something that I found a lot more challenging a few years ago than I do now. And the truth of the matter is, everybody wants to talk to everybody. Mm-hmm. Everybody wants to know you, and you should let them know you. So just a smile and eye contact, introduce yourself, and the conversation can just flow very easily. Some tips that I would have for networking would be, you know, just to be an active listener. We've talked about that in, you know, we've heard active listening before, but just really being engaged with what somebody else is saying really ingratiates them to you. And then be genuine and authentic as to who you are. Again, we all come at this with our own experience, our own past. We've all been through our own things. And so authenticity is actually a big key when it comes to networking.
That's a good point. Don't try to be somebody that you're not.
Exactly.
You know, as long as some of us have been in the business, we can spot BS a mile away.
For sure. And it needs to be more about building meaningful relationships with people rather than collecting business cards. I have a stack of business cards and I'm like, I have no idea who any of these people are. Mm-hmm. And then I have a stack of business cards that I'm like, these people are in my phone and I'm calling them when I need them.
Yeah.
You know, so people are sometimes surprised whenever I say that I'm an extroverted introvert. Like, I can go be on stage, I can go work these events. But when I get home, I've got to go sit on my couch. And even I don't want my family talking to me. Just leave me alone. Let me hermit. But small talk at cocktail parties is like literally like a nightmare for me. Like I cannot stand doing it. And so one of the things that I've had to do is I've had to create a game out of it. And so typically when I go to one of these events, I'll bring along someone that I love and that I'm comfortable around. I'll bring like Jeff along with me to one of these events. But then I make a game out of it where I've got to go talk to two people before I'm allowed to walk back to where Jeff is and talk to Jeff again. And then maybe the next time I got to go talk to three people. But it's also the game of asking about, like you said, the act of listening, but asking people about themselves and hearing what they say. Because most people, I'm not one of them, but most people love to talk about themselves. And the more you engage them at their level and then you practice the act of listening of what they tell you, you can pick up on things. But give people an opportunity to talk about themselves and they won't shut up.
Right. And you know who's really good at that is Rob Curtis.
Yeah.
Rob Curtis will do it with a taxi driver, the Uber driver, the waiter. He'll look at their name tag and, you know, Andre, tell me about you. Where are you from? And how long have you been doing this? And I mean, he has a gift when it comes to that. The other thing you said about that unwinding, you know, you come home from conferences. I know you're the same way I am. We're busy all day long. We're on the whole time. You come home and then, you know, you forget the garage door doesn't work and, you know, the van needs the oil change and all these kinds of things. And I always just tell everybody, you know what, I need to reset. Okay. So right now I've been charming all week long. I am charm free right now. Okay. I just need to plug in, reset. Tomorrow I will be back to myself. But right now I don't care about the van. I don't care about the garage door. I don't care that that blind won't go up or down. Tomorrow I will care about all those things. But right now I do not.
Yeah. And you do have to take care of yourself and you do have to put yourself as a priority at some point in time. You know, it's being on the airplane and you put your mask on yourself first and then you put it on everybody else. Because if we have to have you to even have anybody else, you know, around. And but as a part of my job and my work, we recently just completed a 6-day bus tour where we did 6 awards in 6 states. And we would start each day at about 6 a.m. We would get downstairs. We would set up for the awards. Awards would happen between 1 and 4 p.m. We'd break down. We'd get on a bus. We'd get to the next city at about midnight, 1 a.m. We'd offload the bus. And then we get about 5 hours of rest time. And that went on for 6 days straight. And
Taylor Swift or something?
Basically. We're like Taylor Swift, only we don't have the private jet, which would be quite lovely at this point. To be clear, we have a bus.
I mean, it's pretty cool that you have a bus.
We do have a bus.
Yeah, I think that's cool.
And the bus is named Warpaint. It was Lamar Hunt's former bus. So, I mean, it was fine.
See, even
it's
a good. Cool story about the bus.
Our bus driver's the best. But when I get home at like Friday at a midnight, and then that next Saturday, Sunday, I'm like, sorry, guys, don't look at me. I'm just hibernating. Like, it's not you guys, but it's like I have talked to probably 4,000 people over the course of the last week, and I just need to go hibernate, and I need to take care of me. And I think that's one of the things that we have to, you know, recognize in this industry is that we are a very people-y people, and it is a people-based business, but sometimes we need to take a step back and relax and focus on ourselves.
Very true.
So, Alisa, when you got involved, you know, you got licensed August 3rd, 2020. See, I could have this math thing.
You've got
See,
it,
I
yeah.
got it. It's Rain Man. It's fine. What made you want to get involved at the association level, like as opposed to just focusing just straight on growing your real estate business? What was that thing that said, there's something over here and I want to look into it?
Did somebody ask?
Yes.
There you go. Good. I was hoping that was the answer.
Yes. Somebody did ask for me to get involved, but also it was very important to me to find a sense of community. Like when I started, I was with a very small brokerage, but I wanted a larger community and I wanted to meet more people that were involved in the industry. My mentor, who you know and everybody knows, is Sydney West. So she's very involved.
Yes.
And so she definitely pushed me to get involved. And
she's not pushy.
No, not pushing in a bad way.
She pushed in a good way.
Yes. She supported the idea that I get involved.
Oh, look at you. That's very good. I like that.
Sydney's also trained her on words and semantics.
Exactly. That's a great one because, yes, Sydney is wonderful at getting people involved.
She is. She's fantastic. And she definitely showed me how being involved and getting to know the other industry partners and other agents elevates her business. It makes her better at what she does. Mm-hmm. And in turn, I'm getting better at what I do because of it.
Yeah.
No, that's a great story because people don't realize. I think a lot of people think that this kind of service to the association takes away from business, and it really doesn't. It adds to it many times over.
And I've definitely like mentioned to clients, you know, I'm the chair of the YPN committee. I'm involved in the association, and I feel like that elevates me in their eyes as well.
Yeah. So you obviously chose to get involved with YPN, and now you are the chair of YPN. What are some of the things that YPN is going to be doing this year, is focused on this year? What do some of our people come out to if they've not seen YPN before?
So one of our biggest events of the year is actually coming up on June 5th at Tin Roof in Westport. It's Battle of the Bands. It's our fundraiser for Rock the Block for Habitat for Humanity, which is also one of our biggest events. So Rock the Block is when KCRAR members get together and we actually support Habitat for Humanity by taking over a block and we help beautify the neighborhood. So that could be painting, it could be landscaping. It is so much fun to be involved with. Everybody who participates talks about it all year long about how great it is.
That's a fun day. It's a hard day, but
it's a hard work, but it's a lot of fun.
You're really enriching the lives of some very deserving folks.
Very rewarding. And then seeing the homeowners' faces. It's very rewarding.
Yeah.
So on June 5th at Tin Roof in Westport, we're doing Battle of the Bands. We did it last year. It was our biggest fundraiser for Habitat for Humanity ever, and we're going to make it even bigger this year. It's so much fun. And what's really neat about Battle of the Bands is that each band will have at least one member who is either a realtor or an industry partner.
Yeah.
So it is seeing, you know, our community up there on stage and getting to vote for your favorite ones.
That's a great event. We went last year, and this year it's on my wife's birthday. So I guess
it's so nice of them to do that.
I know. I can't wait to tell her.
Patty's going to be so excited.
This is how she's going to be spending her birthday. Is it Battle of the Bands?
It's for her.
Yeah, there you go. I put together this little shindig for
KCRAR
you.
KCRAR is having a party for you. No big deal. But
you know, she does not listen to the podcast, and she just rolls her eyes when I talk about it. So last episode, Alex asked me about barbecue.
Mm-hmm.
And there's this little barbecue place that I like called Wind Up Barbecue. And I see, you know, all these places around Kansas City, I like Wind Up Barbecue, blah, blah, blah. We went there this weekend. It was just Saturday afternoon. We were going to stop, get a quick lunch. It was packed. There was a line right
Did
at the door.
Did the podcast do that?
My wife walked in. I said, just go grab us a table, because it's never really like that. So we walked in. I go, oh, my gosh. I just thought, this is why it's so busy. I said, I mentioned it. I did a shout out on the podcast. I go, I cannot believe the reach that I have. And she goes, you don't think that soccer stadium down the street, they just opened up with all those soccer fields, all these kids walking around soccer? I go, they listen to podcasts. I go, I'm going to take total credit for this. I've been telling the kids about it. I told my son and daughter about it over the weekend. They're like, and they all have the same reaction that my wife did. But I still think it's because of the reach of Kansas City Real Talk.
And he just doubled down on the podcast by mentioning it on a second episode in a row, everyone. So now there's going to be standing line out the door, going down blocks now. Everybody's got to get their barbecue.
I'm going to have to keep quiet. I just don't know the...
Well, stop talking about it on the podcast then, exactly. You silly.
I know. I keep bringing
but
it up.
But I get really excited when we talk about YPN, because I'm still very mama bear to YPN. So I was in the early stages of the national YPN, you know, getting started, co-founded the Missouri YPN, and then was a national YPN chair. So I love seeing that 15 years, is it 15 years later that this association and this group is still doing all the things that we initially had hoped for this group, and even more, it's reaching heights we never thought it could reach. And just, we're just seeing such amazing leadership all the way up to our national association and on down of these amazing leaders who were brought up through YPN. So thank you for getting involved. Thank you for having such an amazing mentor named Sydney who got you involved, but also for stepping up to the plate because you didn't have to. And yet you're going to change lives of future generations of realtors just simply by doing what you're doing this year. So thank you for that. I really appreciate it.
You and your folks are our future. So it's fun to watch.
Yep.
And you guys do fun stuff.
We do fun things.
You're a fun group. You know, it's really funny. So back in the early days, YPN just was known as like a partying group. And I was like, look at our realtor population. Realtors are partiers in general. It's not the YPN group. And now YPN's moved on to more serious stuff. And other people are still like, yeah, they're having a good time over there. But
I mean, we do some serious stuff, but
we party
we
too.
Definitely have yeah, some fun.
But it's okay to do serious stuff and have fun doing it.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the way I look at
it. It's very social, but just because it's social doesn't mean that it can't have an effect and can't mean something.
Yep.
Well, that Battle of the Bands is a great event. I mean, we loved it.
Yep. So. All right, last question, because we only asked for so much of your time, and I want to be respectful for the time that we've asked of you, is if someone wants to get involved with YPN at KCRAR, how can they do that?
Well, you can go to kcrar.com/YPN, and you can sign up that way. We also have a Facebook page that you can go to and find out about all the events that we're doing. We do have some major events that we do throughout the year, but then we also have some smaller get-togethers, meetups, just at different parts of town, just to get together, see each other, talk, and have a good time.
Awesome. Thank you for your time.
One last thing. I do appreciate the fact that you're coming to new member orientation and doing a little presentations in front of the brand new folks that are coming in, because I mean, that's where they start. So I just want to give that a shout out to having you there to start out, because I Patty and I teach those classes. It's great having your group there showing up and making a little pitch on getting involved in the association. I think that's – YPN's a great, relaxed way for them to get their journey started with the association.
It's a fantastic entry into taking on some leadership roles at the association, for sure. It's just a great way to get involved, but have a good time doing it.
Yeah.
And then we also will be having a table at Recharge. I will be there.
Yay.
So everybody coming to Recharge, come say hi to me.
April 2nd.
April 2nd.
At the Convention Center. Mm-hmm. So Overland Park Convention Center. So
that's coming up really soon, everybody. So make sure you get your tickets and you get there. And we'll see Elisa there. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you for having me.